And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. The night when Larry Noble arrived at the Hamilton Theater just off Broadway in New York, he found Claudia Vincent, who plays the feminine lead opposite him, waiting in his dressing room. Claudia suggested that they should both try to throw the guilt for Oliver Wilson's murder on Victor, chauffeur to wealthy Rupert Barlow, financial backer of the play. When Larry wanted to know how this could be done, Claudia told him her plan, to swear that Larry was in Claudia's dressing room prior to the murder and that they both heard Victor threaten Oliver's life. Larry's reaction has brought Claudia's temper to a boil. As he says,
I want to get out of this mess as much as anyone else. But I won't do it if I have to lie my way out.
What difference does it make how many lies you tell, if it saves your neck?
You put it very directly, Claudia.
Well, this isn't a time to be squeamish, Larry. Listen, if you and I stick together, we can be absolutely sure that Victor will be accused of Oliver's murder.
Somehow that doesn't cheer me too much. Suppose he's innocent.
I'm sure he isn't, Larry. Victor's committed enough crimes in his lifetime so that it's time they caught up with him in any case. Oh, now stop being so touchy and agree that my plan is foolproof.
I can't very well do that, since we both know that I wasn't in your dressing room when you say I was.
Who can prove that, Larry? If you say you were, and I back you up.
Be sensible, Claudia. This is a murder case we're trying to solve. It's important for everyone to stick to the truth. We can't try to convict an innocent man because of some capricious evidence we've manufactured.
Spoken like a little gentleman. Now let me hear your Boy Scout oath.
All right, Claudia. You asked me to do something and I've refused.
Yes, you've refused. Maybe you think you can get out of this without my help. I'm sure that you don't care what becomes of me.
I don't see why you should say that.
Look, I've offered you the perfect solution, Larry. The easy way out. Victor's almost certainly guilty, and he deserves any punishment he gets. And still you won't go along with me. Why? Just give me one good reason for refusing to let me give you the perfect alibi.
Because it just happens not to be true. Lies have a way of tripping people up in cases of murder.
Don't try to make me believe any of that. I know your real reason for refusing, Larry. You don't want your precious Mary to believe that you were with me in my dressing room when she thought you were safely out of my reach. Isn't that it, Larry?
No, I told
you. Yes, you told me, and you don't have to tell me again. You won't play it my way. All right, Larry. But remember that I tried to help you.
Thanks.
I hope you won't be sorry that you refused.
Claudia Vincent leaves the room as Larry tries to quiet his nerves with a cigarette before he makes up for the evening's performance of the play. Meanwhile, Mary's in the living room of her home in Rosehaven, Long Island, talking to her friend Maud Marlowe, who lives with them.
Oh, I've been so busy worrying about Larry and the state his nerves are in that I didn't consider how all of this would affect poor Larry Jr.
Oh, you started to tell me what happened to him before dinner, Mary, and then you motioned me to be quiet.
I know. I didn't want you to say anything to Larry Jr. about how his face was bruised. I thought I'd better wait till he went to bed and we had a chance to talk alone.
Well, how did it happen? Did he fall off a barn roof or get knocked off the back of a truck or what?
He was in a fight with one of the boys at his school.
Oh, well, I don't suppose there's anything you can do about that. Boys are bound to have a few fights when they're Larry Jr.'s age. I only hope the other boy has a few bumps to show for the trouble.
I'm terribly upset about this, Maud. I can't tell you how it's jolted me.
This little boy's fight? Oh, don't take it so seriously, Mary.
Wait till you hear the rest. At first, Larry Jr. wasn't going to tell me how he got into the fight. And he broke down and said that one of the boys had told him his father was going to be arrested for murder.
You mean he said Larry was going to be arrested?
Yes. Larry Jr. said it was a lie and they started to fight. Oh, Maud, don't you see how awful this is?
Yes. Yes, that changes things considerably.
I don't know what I'll do if the boys start to bully him about the things that have happened. He's entirely too loyal to allow them to say a word without fighting.
Oh, well, maybe after today, Mary. Maybe they won't bring the subject up again.
Oh, I wish I could believe that, Maud. And I wish I knew what to say to him. He asks me again whether there's any chance his daddy may be arrested.
Tell him no.
Do you think I dare? When I can't be sure myself? What was that?
Well, I can't imagine. Sounds like it came from the hall.
You don't suppose he could have been listening?
Who? The policeman? He's not inside, is he?
No, I meant Larry Jr. I'm going to see.
In the office of Chief Ferguson of Homicide in New York, Sergeant Riley is reporting to his superior officer. And we hear...
We've got to get some action on this Oliver Wilson case, Riley, or they'll have our scalps.
Oh, I'm working on it just as hard as I can, Chief. I've hardly had 4 hours sleep a night since it happened.
I can't help that. You've got to get results. This isn't just an ordinary homicide. It's complicated by the fact that the murdered man is a British subject. You have the consul staff to deal with on that score. And then it involves some very famous people.
And don't I know it.
When you take a man like Larry Noble, a matinee idol, and another fellow like this rich waster, Rupert Barlow, you're up against plenty of trouble.
Sure, I know that, sir. But you never saw such a case in your life. Not one, but a half a dozen suspects, and all of them red hot. You think you've got the answer, and then something else comes along and sends it all to bits.
Could you make an arrest, do you think, and make it stick?
I could make 4 arrests, at least, and have a pretty darn good case in court.
And still, you don't know who strung this fellow up on that rope at the Hamilton Theater?
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Chief. I've got the gravest suspicions, and right now, I'd say they look pretty foolproof to me.
Let's hear about it.
I'd just like a little more time to get the story squared away so nobody can wriggle out of it when we start trial.
How much time do you think you'll need?
Not much, Chief, not much. Not if everything works as I think it will. I want to ask a few more questions. I want to get a couple of the witnesses in here and go over their stories again.
Who, for instance?
Well, I'm having an officer bring Claudia Vincent down here tonight after the show closes at the theater.
She's your top suspect?
Well, she was at the start. But I'm beginning to change my mind. Oh, she had plenty of reason to kill that Oliver Wilson after she married him and found out he didn't have a penny. And she was right back there at the theater when it happened. That's what I have to settle for sure, Chief. Just exactly where she was. Every minute of the time up till the murder was discovered.
What the devil have you been doing all this time if you haven't got everybody's statement on that?
Oh, I have. I have, Chief. I've got it in detail. But I think this Claudia Vincent may give me something that she's been holding out till now.
What makes you think that, Riley?
She's plenty smart. Yeah. Plenty cagey. Well, if she gets scared, she'll try to save her own neck. Maybe then she'll talk a little more freely than she does now.
Well, I don't see much hope in that. We need something a lot more substantial than guesswork.
Yeah, I know, Chief. Yeah, and you're going to get plenty of proof. But first, I need the chance to get everything in shape. Sending out an order to pick up that guy that works for Rupert Barlow, says he's a chauffeur, you know the one I mean, the guy they call Victor.
Where does he fit in, Riley?
Oh, I can't be absolutely sure, Chief. Record? That's plenty bad. You could send him up any time we felt like it. Only I figure by giving him a little more rope, I think maybe we'll get more evidence.
And maybe he'll take a powder instead. He's got so many connections in the underworld, somebody will hide him out. And then there'll be a howl you could hear halfway to Timbuktu.
Oh, don't worry about Victor, Chief. I've got a tail on him all the time. You know, that guy went up to this Vincent's hotel room yesterday. Now, that's an interesting fact that I'd like to hear about. May bring a lot of the other facts to light. I'm going to bring the guy in tonight and hold him until we find out if we need him or not.
If we don't make an arrest right away, we're going to be in plenty of hot water.
Chief, I'm planning to give you enough evidence to justify an arrest by tomorrow.
I thought you said you could make half a dozen of them.
I did. But this is the one we're after. This will be the one that doesn't backfire.
Are you sure of that, Riley?
Chief, I'll stake my next promotion on it.
You better be right. There'll be no promotions for anybody.
Sir, would you look over my report? I've got it all written down. Now, the way I look at it, the evidence narrows down to just one suspect.
Which one is it?
Well, if you'll read my report, sir, because if you follow it all the way through, my reasoning will make more sense. Now, after I get through with my questions tonight to the Vincent woman and the guy Victor, I think I ought to have everything I need to get out a warrant for an arrest.
I'll leave the report here. I'll go over it.
I feel sure that when we've made our arrest, a conviction will follow without any hitch.
And as Sergeant Riley leaves the office, Chief Ferguson starts to read the report. Who is the suspect that will face an early arrest? Well, be sure to be listening tomorrow to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway star.